our chapter we're dealing with tonight. I want to begin reading in verse number 21 out of 2 Corinthians 11, and we're going to go down through verse number 28 tonight. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Look at verse number 28. Beside those things that are without. As if that wasn't enough to deal with. He says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And we're going to stop there in verse number 28. And this chapter in its entirety, especially the verses that I read to you, it deals with Paul's sufferings and his responsibilities, of course, as an apostle. The chapter itself actually starts out with Paul mentioning how jealous he is over his converts. And verse number 2 says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one man, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And so Paul, no doubt, had won these believer or won these people of Corinth to Jesus, and they were believers now. But also at the same time, we have that there were other men. There were false preachers and false teachers that came in. They kind of crept in unaware. And so now Paul is being forced to prove or vindicate his apostleship. You know, Paul was as much as we glean from the Bible and some of his writings, he's a small, frail kind of man. And he was mighty in words, but in appearance, he wasn't much to behold. He was weakly looking. And also, Paul didn't receive money, you know, from the churches. Verse number 8, in fact, the Bible says this: "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." In other words, they gave. He didn't want to take it, but he did because they wanted to give to him. And so he felt as though he was a robber. Verse number 9 says, "And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." And so as you can see, these false teachers came in, and they're really, really trying to woo the Corinthians to their belief system. And, you know, Paul is saying, "I'm jealous over you. You know, there is not another gospel. There is not another God or Holy Spirit. There is not another salvation than what you received when I preached to you." And then we get down to verse number 13. And the Bible says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And now we get into the things that Paul says he suffers. And he is vindicating his apostleship. In fact, 2 Corinthians is, in its entirety, is Paul vindicating his apostleship, while 1 Corinthians deals with the correction to the church. And so this is the things taking place here in this chapter. Paul is trying to, in a sense, boast a little. Not that he wanted to, but he felt like he had to prove his apostleship. And then he gets down in here and he mentions all these things. And verse number 23, about middle ways down, he says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. And so we see that Paul is mentioning all of his sufferings. He's talking about his responsibilities. And all of these things were an attempt to vindicate who he is because of all the other false apostles and preachers. They had their doctrine, and yet they were holding Paul in contempt, so to speak. But I want to call your attention tonight specifically to verse number 28. And so while Paul is mentioning all these things, and he's an apostle, he brings the pure gospel, and he's suffering, and he has these responsibilities. On top of everything he mentioned, you know, all of the pearls, the beating of rods, and all of those things, verse number 28 says this: beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul is saying that sometimes in life it gets demanding. And Paul is saying, in fact, to be an apostle is a demanding lifestyle. Preaching the word, Paul is saying, and going through everything he's going through, all the ins and outs, and then the suffering, and then all the other responsibilities. He says in verse 28, besides those things, the care of all the churches. And so Paul, we see here in this chapter, is at a place in his life where it's very demanding. He needs help here. He needs help on this hand. And he's trying to prove who he is to this old crazy bunch that are not really true believers. And he's being pulled every which way but loose, really. And it's a very demanding time for Paul. And so I want to use that idea tonight for a few moments. And I want to share with you some things on this subject. When life gets demanding. When life gets demanding. Again, he says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul is saying that life is demanding. Everybody in this room can say that as well. Some point in time or the other, we go through times a little more slower than others, but everybody in here has been used to demanding times at some point in your life, if not now. When you're being pulled and you're being strained and you've got all of these things to think about and balance out, and you're wanting to give God your best in every single area, and what do? You know, do we collapse? What do we do? What did Paul do? You know, what can we glean from him in these chapters, chapter 11, but some other chapters tonight, that he did when he was experiencing all the pearls? In verse number 26, in journeyings often in pearls of waters, pearls of robbers, pearls of my own countrymen, pearls of the heathen, pearls in the city, pearls in the wilderness, pearls in the sea. A lot of pearls. Pearls among false brethren. So, Paul, what did you do? I mean, beside all of those things, the care of all the churches, how did you do it? What happened to you? Did it take a toll on your body, your mind? What about your spiritual life, Paul? How do you balance all this out? Well, I want to do my best tonight to just mention three different parts that Paul experienced during his time. Well, really, his whole apostleship. Was a demanding course. But I want to divide this tonight, Paul's demanding life, into three sections. And I believe that these three sections are also three sections that we experience as well when life gets demanding. Number one, I believe that Paul experienced a physical part. When life got demanding for Paul, there was a physical part that was involved. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 17, the first part of this physical part that Paul experienced when life got demanding, he reached a breaking point. In verse number 17, notice with me, the Bible says, "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." And so he's already saying, I'm speaking foolishly here. I'm having to defend my apostleship, prove who I am. That's against who I am. I don't like to boast, Paul said. I don't like to brag. But in this instant, I'm going to have to do that because I'm jealous over the people of Corinth. He says, "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." Now look at verse 18. "Seeing that many glory after the flesh," look at here, "I will glory also." Verse number 21. "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." Verse number 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." He's bragging. He's boasting. He is beginning to bull over defending his apostleship. He says, "I am more." Of course, he says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." Did you get that? "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." He's boasting because he has to defend who he is on the behalf of his church people. Now, look with me, if you would, in verse number 29. He says, "Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not?" Paul is saying that, you know, I really don't have to do this. But it's part of my life, and it's very demanding, and these false prophets are in the church, and they're trying to corrupt my people. And I may be weak in appearance, and you know, strong in letter, but in appearance I'm weak, and I'm of a small frame. So Paul now feels like he has to boast, he has to brag about, or at least justify his apostleship. And he's getting to a place of approaching a breaking point. Do you see that in these verses? He is defending, and he uses certain words. In verse 17, he used the word foolishly. And he's saying, "It's not of the Lord, but of me, foolishly. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." In verse number 18 again, "Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also." And then in verse number 29, he says, "And I burn not." Paul is reaching a breaking point. He is boiling over. Again, keep in mind, he's experiencing all of these ins and out of ministry, and he's visiting all the churches and making sure everything is run right there. And then he's being betrayed by several, even brethren, the Bible says, countrymen, brethren, beaten with rods in verse number 25. All of these things taking place, and right in the middle of it, so to speak, you know, these apostles, false prophets come by, and they try to steal his people. They try to corrupt his people. And he gets jealous over that, and he reaches a gradual breaking point. And you know, the same thing for us in our life. When life gets demanding, we can glean from Paul, we can read in his words here, how he says, "I burn as well. I'm bragging as well." You know, Paul wasn't a bragger. He always would refer to glorying in his infirmities, because whenever he was weak, then he was strong in the Lord. But these people made him do that, vindicate who he was. Many times we reach that place. If we're not careful, we'll reach a breaking point when life gets demanding. We'll get to that place where we're just boiling over, and we take stuff out on people if we're not careful, and maybe even a temper or anger moment might happen. So we see here that the physical part. during Paul's life when it was getting demanding, there was a breaking point. But I want you to look at chapter number 7 for a moment, verse number 5. Not only when life got demanding for Paul, it was demanding physically, he reached his breaking point, but then there was bodily fatigue. Chapter 7 and verse number 5, look at this. He says in 2 Corinthians 7, 5, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." Notice this. "Without were fightings, within were fears." Now, I want to tell you what, if there are fightings on the outside and fears on the inside, and your flesh has had no rest, that is a recipe for tremendous bodily fatigue. Listen, life getting demanding, life will grind us down to powder if we're not careful. We got to learn how to take things in stride. You know that. Y'all could be sharing that with me. We do. We have to take things in stride and pace ourselves the best we can. Because Paul here, he's saying when he came to Macedonia, he had no rest, trouble on every side. On the outside, there was fightings. On the inside, there were fears. What was he fearing? You know? He was fearing probably losing his life and not fulfilling the rest of his ministry. Or just it really doesn't specify what kind of fears. But I do know this. When life gets demanding, there's times where I've experienced some fears on the inside. What if this happens? You know, all of these things are coming down the pipe, but what if this doesn't happen? You know, it's not right. We ought to combat those fears with the Word of God and His promises, but we do experience fears on the inside at times. We're human. On the outside are fightings, on the inside are fears, and that's just a double problem there. And it takes a toll on the body. You start to break down after a while. Sometimes folks even retreat, and it's been the case for some that they would even retreat and stay home from church because of their situation, and we're being whoever that they are, being very sensitive to people that tend to do that, to retreat and stay home when their troubles are all around them. But many times that's how it happens. Body fatigue, retreating from the house of God, retreating from the fellowship with the Lord. And Paul said he experienced all these all these things, excuse me. And so that's in verse number 5. He talked about these fears on the inside and these fightings on the outside. But there's a third part of this physical part when life got demanding for Paul. It got very demanding, and so he reached his breaking point. It got very demanding, and so there was bodily fatigue, fears, and fightings. But then, turn to chapter number 1, if you would, in verse number 8. He also experienced a burden to continue on. Chapter 1 and verse number 8. Listen to this. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." He was telling the truth. He said, "Brethren, I want you to understand what we were feeling. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul said, "It wouldn't bother me if the Lord just took me on out right now. Despaired of life." He said, above measure. He said, pressed out of measure, above strength. Have you ever been there before? Where you were in a situation where you felt like that you don't have enough strength to accomplish what's in your lap. Many times that's what happens in life. Of course, we know that the Lord is constantly leading us and guiding us and providentially looking after us. But Paul here, despaired of life. Many times that's what we face as well when we're facing a schedule that's demanding, or at least we're going through a season that's demanding, and we reach a breaking point if we're not careful emotionally. There's body fatigue, but also there's the burden to even continue on as well. And so we see that Paul experienced these things. He says again in verse number 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life." Think about this for a moment. On the inside were fears. On the outside were fightings. Above strength, could not regroup, could not get balanced mentally. I mean, absolutely felt like it was over. Sometimes we approach those places, don't we? But we know the Lord is always there, and we'll get into that in just a second. When life gets demanding, there's the physical part. We all experience these things from time to time, breaking points, bodily fatigue, burden to even carry on. But there's a second part. When Paul's life got demanding, not only there was the physical part, but there was the educational part as well. Paul learned some things. And we're in chapter number 1. Look in verse number 9. There was an educational part when life got demanding. So we read verse number 8. Let's read it again. I always do that. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now look in verse number 9, because we see that Paul got an education. He learned something in verse number 9. And he learned how to rely on the Lord. Verse number 9 says this. So he despaired of life. Verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." Let me stop right there. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. The word sentence means answer. In other words, we're not going to make it. We're going to die. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Despaired of life, above strength, fears and fightings and all the cares of the churches and everything. Very demanding life, very demanding schedule. He said that we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Paul was saying, we're just going to, let's just sit down and watch it happen. Let's just wave the flag, it's over. But what did he learn? Look at that next word in verse number 9. The word "that." He says in verse number 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." In other words, we gave up on it. Let's just ride her out, come what may. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Look at verse 10. "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver." What kind of language is that now? He was despairing of life. Now he says he did deliver and doeth deliver. And look here, "in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." That's a change of attitude. That's a change of heart Paul had. I mean, in verse number 8, Paul despaired of life. In verse number 9, at least the first half of verse number 9, he gave up on life, but then he found out that at the end of yourself is when Christ is the strongest in you. He got to the very end of himself. He gave up on himself. How many times have we given up on ourselves? I mean, you were in a situation and it looked bleak, it looked dreary, and fears and fightings and the demands of life and bodily fatigue and everything. Can you imagine just... You know, that's it. God's going to call me home for sure. You know, he set me up. But could it be that God is actually lining us up to reach that place where we turn it over to him, you see? And you know these things. But in verse number 9, that's what he says. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We were just, it looked bad. Didn't look like anything was going to happen. No breakthrough. He said we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Paul said, at the end of my rope, I bumped into Jesus. Verse number 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." There was an educational part. And during Paul's busyness of life, very demanding life, God gave him an education to rely on him. And is that not true today? It has been for ever since Jesus' day. putting us and allowing us by his own will and way in a situation that might look bleak, might look grim. And then the Lord do the impossible. That's what he does. He gets us to the end of ourselves, because when we feel like we've absolutely ran out, there's nothing left of us to try. You see that? When you absolutely have ran out of just one more time, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, I'm really going to make it work this time. What happens when there's no more options? What happens when there's no more, you know, no more options? There's not a plan B, not a plan C. I tell you what happens. God is getting ready to do something major, because he leads us to that place so that we can depend on him. And the whole time, the whole process, it's a sifting process. And God is getting rid of the chaff of our faith, and he wants true grain, refined, left behind. So we see that in Paul. He was going through a time of education, and this is when he learned how to rely on the Lord. Not only that, but look at verse 11. This educational part, when life got demanding for Paul, he learned how to rely on the Lord, but he also learned to recruit some help. Look at verse 11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul learned during this time to ask for prayer. I mean, he did. He learned to recruit some help. And is that not what we're here for? You know, we're here to bear one another's burdens. We're here to be intercessors. You know, when one of us is at a specific place in our life and we need a prayer answered, we need someone to ring heaven for us, we stand in the gap. We do that, and we intercede, and we pray for God's best, and we pray for God's protection. And that's what happened here during this time with Paul. He says, ye also, helping together by prayer for us. And so Paul learned that he had some that were praying for him. Paul wanted prayer. And there was an educational part. And every time we go through a storm, every time we go through a situation, it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how long we've been a Christian, how long or how short of a time we've been a Christian, God always has a next stage, doesn't he? Something you don't see coming that really refines us. So the educational part, Paul learned to rely on the Lord. He learned to recruit some help, some prayer partners. But then there's a third part when life got demanding for Paul. There's the educational part. There's the physical part. But then there's the spiritual part. We're in chapter 1 still. Look in verse number 4. There's a spiritual part. In verse number 4, the Bible says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see that? That's exactly. You see, when Paul was in his predicament, when he was in his situation, guess what? God reassured him, God delivered him, and now Paul is reassuring to the others that God is a God who knows what's going on. He's a God that he can intervene if he wants to. He's in charge. But there's a spiritual part, and that is that Paul experienced the comfort of God. Now, verse number 4, it says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Each one of us, I'm sure tonight, can say that there's been times where God has specially comforted us. I had this going on in my life, and you know, all of these things were taking place, and this was falling apart, but God showed up, and God bestowed his peace, and God gave kisses of mercy when he didn't have to. And here I am, a year later, able to tell about it. God, the Lord, intervenes on our behalf, and then in return, we help others. But what about this? If I've never had, let's just say, cancer, I'm limited on how I can help you if you have cancer and I don't. And so that means that God has different ministries for different people's problems. There's some who can minister to others because they've had cancer. And there's some, like Miss Glenda, that can minister to others who have lost a child. You know, I can't minister on that capacity. I hope I never will. You know, I hope I never will with cancer or loss of a child. But the thing is simply this, there's a spiritual part when life gets demanding, and that is God is comforting us because there's somebody somewhere that's getting ready to go through what you have been through that needs to be assured that God knows where they're at and that God can intervene. And so he was comforted by God. This was the spiritual part. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Then he goes on and says, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Look, you don't have to raise a hand, but if you are cast down tonight, mentally, if you have fought and fought and fought and prayed and prayed and prayed, listen, nevertheless, God, the Bible says, that comforteth those that are cast down. God has his own time. He has his own will. He has his own way that he will comfort those who are cast down in spirit, those who are bewildered from the troubles of life. So we see that the spiritual part had to do with Paul's experience. Or Paul experienced what he did. There was a spiritual emphasis here. He was comforted by God, but then he was comforted by man. Not only did he recruit help to pray for him, and there was a church praying for him, but he actually was comforted by man. Look at verse 6 again. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. And so the very presence, the very ministering that Titus did, comforted. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. God uses people, certain people, to comfort. And then verse number 7, of course, Titus was comforted when the people were mourning after Paul. They cared for Paul. They wanted Paul to be liberated himself. And so it's just a chain reaction. The comfort by man. And I'm pretty sure that everybody in here, there's somebody you can think about that when you go through something, you know, even if you don't go through anything, they're there. You know, I mean, we got a church full of people here, you know, at Calvary. But God has one or two, maybe not even at this church, but of course the whole church, of course, we're here for one another, but other friends, other people out there, that one person or two people that you can think of, God has used them in your life. I know several tonight, and God has used this church, so thank you. But I know several. I mean, listen, they are ministers who comfort, and they could be anybody. But nonetheless, this is the demanding life of Paul, and there was a spiritual part. Titus came to comfort. It was a spiritual part. God comforted Paul. But then there was that educational part where he had to learn how to rely on the Lord. He thought it was going to be over, but then he bumped into the grace of God. Maybe he didn't want to get that low. Maybe he didn't want to get that get that low, get that close. I know I wouldn't. But nonetheless, that was God's choosing, and he learned to rely on the Lord. He had some folks praying for him. And then there's that physical part, the breaking point, the bodily fatigue, and then the burden to even carry on. Let me read you this verse out of Psalm 55. A moment ago, we were talking about when life gets demanding, the physical part, and how that chapter 1 and verse number 8, weaving despaired of life. He didn't want to go on. Psalm 55, 6, David says this, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." That's just one of those fight or flight scenarios. Fight or flight. There's times I'm sure we all just wanted to leave me be, you know. But I think that God wants to turn that bird around and fight, you know, fight or flight. Of course, Isaiah 40:31 talks about the wings of an eagle. That's what he's doing through life and the demands of life. He's allowing us to shed old feathers and produce new ones to go to greater heights. But when life gets demanding, just some things tonight that I've seen here that I hope was a blessing to you. And God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory, we'll follow him. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. And we praise you, Lord. We know you're here, Lord. We know that you're in our hearts. And Father, you lead some through the valley and Lord, some through the flood. But I'm thankful, Lord, that all who profess Jesus are being led through the blood. We are being cleansed by the blood. The blood of Jesus covers our lives. And Father, we have need of no worry. And Father, there'll be no hurt, although we do feel those things. Help us tonight just trust in you with our very next step. And bring us back safely on Sunday, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name.